So can you hear the train coming? That's what I want to know. Can you hear the train coming, and does it bother you? That's one of the issues on the table. We also asked about whether or not landlords should be held responsible for tenants selling drugs, and also the whole mail-in ballot question, whether or not the primary election should have been moved back. Well, that's all water under the bridge. So any of those topics. And then the other thing I was going to bring up, I was going to bring this up on my first show on Saturday, but I had a lot of people debating due process, right? And so, you know, being an attorney, of course, very familiar with due process. Constitutional law wasn't really my main thing in law school. But, you know, basic civics dictates due process. And for 250 years, the United States of America, the beacon of freedom, the leader of the free world, has always prided itself in due process. And any time that you try to skip over due process because you're frustrated that maybe somebody is getting away with something, I understand that. I understand that. I remember when I was a prosecutor, if I thought somebody was guilty and we were trying to prove it and there just wasn't enough evidence and I thought somebody that was guilty was slipping through, and we always thought, well, we'll get him again and so forth. But the idea is that, as one of our founding fathers said, you're better off having some guilty people go free as opposed to having somebody innocent convicted and sent to jail. So that's why we have a process. And this idea, well, that person's not entitled to process. Well, then how do you know that person did what you said they did? For example, let's say you are accused of selling drugs. And you say, I didn't sell any drugs. You're accused of having drugs. I don't have any drugs. What are you talking about? So you can believe the accuser. You can believe the person who denies the accuser. And then you have a process to determine whether or not it's true. Now, they're doing that with the Karen Reed case, right? Karen Reed being accused of running over the police officer boyfriend. She's saying she didn't do it. So we can't just believe the accuser. We have to have a process to see whether or not it can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt that she did it. So if you were accused of anything, I accuse you of assaulting somebody with a weapon. I accuse you of trying to knife somebody with a weapon. I accuse you of being an illegal alien. There has to be a process to determine if that's true. I'm accusing you of being an illegal alien. Well, are you? I don't know. Just because the accuser says so? That's a complete, total disregard for the Constitution and the beacon of freedom. If somebody is accused of something, you don't just believe the accuser. Sometimes the accuser makes a mistake too, an honest mistake. Sometimes the wrong person gets charged. So in these cases that are at the national level, I hear people saying, well, you're defending this bad person. Well, we don't know if it's a bad person until we actually look into it. So in other words, the government says person A is a criminal. Person A says they're not a criminal, so we have a process. Okay. Now, the other argument is, well, if that person is an illegal alien, they don't get due process. Well, then how do we know they're an illegal alien? All those we're saying is, and this is basic civics, right? If you don't believe this, you might as well take the flag down. Basic civics is that I accuse you of whatever. I accuse you of being an illegal alien. So what happens then? Well, what happens then is that it has to be shown that you are. And what happens is, in that particular case, you go before an immigration court, which actually is an administrative law judge, not even in the judicial branch. It's in the executive branch. And that immigration court says, yep, you're right. That's an illegal alien. They should be deported to the country of origin. That's it. And if you don't do that, to make sure that you don't have the wrong person, then in our zeal to get the right person, we get the wrong person. Then what happens then? Well, you can go back and try to get that person back, you know. And then this idea that the person who's here illegally should be deported to the country of origin, not to a third country that has nothing to do with it, just to put them there in a prison under the idea that this person's a bad person. Well, how do we know? You're going to take the government's word for it? Really? My anti-government people? I say the government's too strong? So when we talk about due process, we're not talking about doing anybody favors. The whole process is to determine whether or not the allegation is true. And if the allegation is true, damn right, deport him. But suppose the allegation is not true. That's why we have a process. You just can't believe the accuser. That goes against everything that a civics lesson, a basic civics lesson would tell you. And that's it. I mean, I don't think there's anything controversial there. Why is that controversial? Making sure you have the right person. Like I said, in our zeal to get the bad guy, and I want to be safe too. I've said this a lot of times on the radio. I want to be safe just like you do. But in my zeal to be safe and my zeal to be a law-abiding citizen, I want to make sure that there's a process, a due process, to make a determination that you got the right person. When you say this person did something, we have to know if that person really did something or not. And if the court says, hey, you know, you made a mistake, you got the wrong person there, I order you to stop. And then the executive branch goes, I don't care what you say. That's not good. That's not good. Anyway, back to the phones. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul. Julie Sassio.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good. I'm glad you're talking about due process.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a victim of I didn't get no due process. I was attacked by Linda Morad.
Mm-hmm.
Yet nobody filed a complaint. Police department, the chief of police, and everything. So I filed it. They dismissed my case without even a hearing.
Right. So I know you talked about this before. Didn't they change the charge to a civil charge? Isn't that right?
No. I'm not talking about the clapping you said.
Okay.
I've been stuck up the keystone a lot of times like that.
All right. So you had an altercation with Linda Morad, you said, right? I remember that. Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, with the chief of police as a witness, and he's seen it. He had two options. Either arrest her on the spot or file summons to the court. He didn't either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I filed a complaint. Okay, filed a complaint.
You filed a private criminal complaint. You're talking about, right?
Yeah. Guess what happened in court on April 4th.
So then, what happened you went to a magistrate's hearing?
No, I didn't even get that.
Okay.
They dismissed it the next day, mm-hmm. And your boy, your friend there, John C., was representing me. He didn't even follow through. 6 months he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I didn't get due process.
Well,
they dismissed my case without a hearing.
No, that's very upsetting, but the due process applies to whoever's accused, actually. But I understand what you're saying. You felt that you were shortchanged.
Why didn't I get a clerk's hearing?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the case, you know, but I understand that was a matter that you didn't think.
That's why I called you.
Right.
Due process.
Well,
doing everything.
Right. Okay. All right.
Give me a hearing.
All right.
So due process is who you know.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Welcome back.
All right. Thank you. All right. 508-996-0500. I understand that caller's frustration, but like if you're a victim of a crime and you think you're a victim of a crime and you want the authorities to bring a criminal charge against somebody, whoever that is, and the thing doesn't go anywhere, that's very upsetting and unfortunate. But the due process has to do with the government taking away your liberty, not you being the person who's saying that you were the victim of a crime. And hey, the victim of a crime has rights too, yes. But the due process has to do with the government's not going to take away your liberty, right? Take away your liberty without some kind of process. So I think that's what we're talking about. But anyway, we do have a couple of callers on the line. We're going to go to this break, and then we'll be right back with more of the Tim Weisberg Show. Paul Santos filling in at WBSM. All right, so we've heard Frank Sinatra. We've heard Pump Up the Jam. We've heard Rick James, who I actually saw in concert back in the 80s. And now it's time for some good old-fashioned rock and roll. Try to get everybody with some enjoyable music here. All right, 508-996-0500. We were bouncing a bunch of topics around this morning, and as soon as I mentioned due process, all of a sudden the phones lit up, so I guess we may be on to something there. I know we've been away, so I don't know how much this has been discussed here, but I just wanted to give like a quick thumbnail sketch about that, because you have to have a process to determine whether or not whatever the accusation is true or not. You can't just go by the accuser. That's the point I'm making. So let's see what you think about all of that. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul Santos. How are you today?
Yeah, good. You know, every time you call, there's like a woman's name on the caller ID.
Is it? I go by Joanne? Because I'll go by that one today. How about that?
You identify as whatever. It must be your wife or something. I don't know. It's on there.
My phone is identifying. It's not me. It's Verizon.
Maybe she's paying the bill.
It could be.
Yeah. How are you?
Not bad. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
I agree on the due process piece. Okay. I'm always confused a little bit by the fact there are some people that have had due process, especially with being adjudicated not to be to be able to they're making an asylum claim, and then they're found that claim is invalid, and they're asked to self deport, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I think that's a real legitimate. Those people should leave, but there are other people that their status is unknown. They never got really checked through a border or in the process. And I totally agree with what you're saying. You are part of the soul. Experiences to be human beings, right? You know, so
yeah, I think the zeal to get the bad guy, I think when people are afraid and they think, we got to get the bad people out of here, we got to get the bad people out of here, we got to put the bad people in jail. Yes, that's all true. I want to be safe. You want to be safe. We all want to be safe. But in our zeal to do that, you know, we have to make sure we get the right person. You know, if somebody gets accused of something, we have to have a process to make a determination whether or not the accusation is true. And that holds true regardless of who it is and what the accusation is.
Right. Can I just change the subject to
something
that was just on your news?
Yes.
So your WBSM news broke a story that Realtor.com was saying that Rhode Island was the most unaffordable for buying a home. Rhode Island was the most unaffordable, and Massachusetts was the second most unaffordable state in the union.
Yes.
And the funny thing is that like I lived in the Freetown area. I don't live there anymore, but there's a lot of land that is developable, but the restrictions and the codes and all the things that come into building a home are so limiting that you can't take like a parcel of, you know, let's say 20 acres or 30 acres and say, you know, if it was in the 70s or the 60s, you'd say, okay, I'm going to subdivide this. I'm going to hit the marks that are required. But you can't do that anymore. I mean, obviously you have environmental issues. You've got historical issues. You've got what they call environmental historical issues, which have to do with like the box turtle or the great horned owl, and then that's before you get in front of approvals in the city and everything else that has to go on. So it makes it almost impossible to build a small development or because if you look at the houses being built, if there's ones being built, they're all $1 million houses. I mean, it's like, you see all the parcel that's an acre and you say, oh, there's a house going in, and it's not like a $500,000 house. It's like, it's a big house, 3,000 square feet plus and $1 million. So I don't know how that's going to change until they address the ability to build more reasonably. And I don't see that happening in Massachusetts. So
well, it looks like we're two for two this morning, you and me. I agree with you. I think, you know, there is, you know, an area here where I agree with my free market friends, you know, that you're absolutely right. It's basic supply and demand. Now, I was talking about civics before. This is basic economics, right? Supply and demand. If you have it so difficult for you to have a big supply, then it's going to drive the prices up. Absolutely. It should be easy. I mean, obviously, you have to have standards, which is what you're talking about. We don't want a house to fall apart, and we want to have electrical standards, and we want to have building standards. But we should be building buildings all over the place right now to make a bigger supply. So that way, each rental will be more affordable. If you have a short supply, you're certainly going to have high rents. And that's exactly what you're talking about here in Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'll leave you with this: is there are states like Utah and Colorado, for instance, where if you've got a 5-acre parcel, they're allowing like a community of teeny home building. So it's these ADUs, but they're in one area. So what happens is, if you're fresh out of high school, even, you could probably afford a home, or even in college. So it brings the home prices down to the more affordability, and they're easier to build because, for the most part, you're putting a slab down or a series of slabs, and then you're ordering these teeny homes from a factory. So a factory is building it in Pennsylvania, and they ship them up and drop them in. Everything's put together, but the state isn't addressing, like, if they really want to get more homes and affordable homes, they're really not addressing it at all. But other states are addressing it, and it's kind of a bummer. So Anyway,
I like those teeny homes. I got to tell you, if I was like a young person, late teens, early 20s, and I could grab one of those teeny homes and get a little independence and all that, and then the bed folds down from the ceiling and all that, they're really constructed in really a very interesting way. A lot of innovation with those tiny homes.
Yeah. And the fact is, it's a real estate. So if you buy one for $73,000 to $100,000, let's say, which is very affordable, up to $125,000 I've seen, then when you sell it, selling it to somebody else that's trying to get in the market, and you're moving up to your next home. So I know it crushes the rental market. It would drive rental prices down, because if the affordability is under what the rental prices are on a monthly basis for mortgage, rental prices are going to go down. So anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
You have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. 508-996-0500. I wanted to try to sneak that other caller in there. Please hang on. We got the news. It's about 5 minutes. You know, you can listen to the news and make a cup of coffee or something like that. And then we'll take your call immediately after the news here at WBSM. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. We'll be back after the news update.
A $60 million Navy jet lost at sea. Another suspect found in Christy Noem's purse theft. And how much will you need to retire to California?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The cause of a deadly parking garage collapse in Lower Manhattan 2 years ago has been revealed. Kristen Marks reports.
The report says workers removed bricks at the garage at 57 Ann Street without realizing they were supporting the building. They were replacing the bricks at the 98-year-old structure, thinking they surrounded a steel beam. A 2-year probe conducted by the New York City Buildings Department and the Manhattan DA says the garage owner and hired engineering firm Inspector are to blame for what they call preventable human errors. The partial collapse killed 59-year-old parking garage manager Willis Moore and injured 5 others.
New York's MTA says subway fare evasion is down while revenue is up. Officials like Demetrius Critchlow say their low-tech efforts to stop fare beaters by putting fins on turnstile gates is working.
Where gate guards are deployed, there's been a 36% decrease in fare evasion, 36% just from the gate guards. We know that that's been the superhighway of fare evasion.
At a news conference yesterday, the MTA unveiled high-tech gate door prototypes of 4 very tall gates to be tested this fall at 20 subway stations. The MTA says fare revenue in New York is up 67% since 2021, not just because of new riders, but because more people are now paying. A second suspect accused of stealing the Gucci bag belonging to Homeland Security Secretary Christy Noem is under arrest in Miami Beach. Christian Sanzana appeared in court yesterday. He had a fake California ID and an immigration hold, according to authorities. The first suspect, a Chilean national who was also in the country illegally, was arrested over the weekend. Noem's bag was taken from a restaurant in Washington, D.C. It had her wallet, apartment keys, passport, department security badge, and about $3,000 cash. The Navy says a $60 million jet has been lost at sea after it fell overboard from an aircraft carrier.
In a statement, the Navy said the FA-18E Super Hornet fighter was under tow in the hangar bay of the USS Harry S. Truman when the MOVE crew lost control of the aircraft. All crew members are accounted for, with one sailor suffering a minor injury. CNN reports the Truman was making a hard turn to evade Houthi fire. The Truman recently had its deployment to the Middle East extended by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
Two Columbia University janitors are suing more than 40 protesters
Mario Torres and Lester Wilson say they were threatened, pummeled, and held hostage by pro-Palestinian demonstrators during a regular overnight shift. Their lawsuit reveals hand-drawn maps used to identify the locations of heavy equipment that could be used to block doors and windows at the historic building. The janitors claim demonstrators who held them against their will were distributing bike locks, ropes, zip ties, food, cots, and other supplies. They say the experience triggered PTSD, which has left them unable to return to work. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
President Trump has signed executive orders related to immigration. Trump signed multiple orders yesterday, ranging from one mandating truck drivers be proficient in English to one cracking down on sanctuary jurisdictions. The White House is focusing on President Trump's immigration crackdown during the first 100 days of his second administration. It's the first of several days meant to showcase Trump's sweeping agenda. Californians believe they need nearly $1.5 million to retire comfortably. Tammy Trujillo has details.
That figure accounts for saving sources like 401ks and IRAs, but excludes real estate. According to a 2025 Northwestern Mutual survey for the San Francisco Chronicle, California's magic number for retirement is the same as last year. It's also $210,000 higher than the average American's expectation. This indicates that Californians are feeling the effects of inflation and the state's high cost of living.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox traveling to Toronto tonight, 7:07 first pitch, and Celtics and Magic game 5 happens at the Garden at 8:30 tonight. Boston leads that series 3-1.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
We start the day with sunshine, temperatures in the low 50s at first, but then getting a little bit warmer into the mid-60s by the afternoon. And by the way, if you are venturing away from the South Coast and into parts of northern Bristol County, a little further inland, you can see some of those temperatures in the low 70s. That's not too shabby, but it is going to be a windy day. We also see clouds increase throughout the day and into the evening as well, looking for a couple of showers after midnight tonight. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Slipped another funky one in there for you. Paul Santos in for Tim Weisberg. Last half hour here. Tim will be back tomorrow. And, of course, Chris McCarthy coming up in just a little bit. Back to the telephones. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. That last song had me tweaking like Weekend at Bernie's.
Well, too bad we don't have a camera on you.
Shrugging my shoulder. Yeah. Two things.
Yes.
You talk about due process.
Yes, sir.
As far as the illegal immigration issue in New Bedford goes, if the Immigrant Center claims that they know of 14,000 illegal immigrants in New Bedford, and census data, U.S. census data, actually claims less than that. So there's got to be that's credible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't dispute that.
I would take them for their word. Right, right. So then there you go. There's your target audience.
Right, right. But
Tom Holman's target audience.
But if somebody gets apprehended, you know, the accuser is saying you're an illegal alien, there's a process to determine whether or not that's true or whether or not they made a mistake or whatever. And, you know, so you go through that process and then you don't want to skip over that because you want to make sure that they got the right person.
Right, absolutely. And I'm sure that takes place. You know, they have to have a target to go after. Otherwise, they would just go in like Bianco, the Bianco raid that happened, and right. pull out 350 at once.
But I think there was that case that is in dispute right now, and I don't have all of it in front of me because I was actually preparing to talk about other stuff, but I guess some of the other stuff didn't take. But the long and the short of it is that, okay, the person's apprehended. They're then not sent to the country of origin. They're sent to El Salvador under the accusation that they're in a gang. But then that's just like the accuser is saying that. Like somebody's got to look at it and say, well, let's make sure that that's true before you deport them. And by the way, deport them to the country of origin, not a, like a third-party country. That sounds like we're going down a dangerous path there.
That is true. But you know what? That El Salvador guy, the Maryland dad, it's been verified he's a gang member.
Well, that could be. But that could be. But there has to be a process to make that determination, not just me thinking it or you thinking it or the people who did the apprehension thinking it. There has to be some process to make sure. That's all.
Yeah, there's a reason that he's on the radar. Yeah,
well,
they didn't just pick him up off the street and say, hey, I don't like the look of this guy. Let's get rid of him.
But mistakes happen, you know, like sometimes, hey, the police locally or state police, they might arrest somebody and then it turns out that it's the wrong person or they made a mistake.
He's already got a record, though. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, I think we have to separate, like, I'm not, like, defending this particular person, like, for who they are. I'm just defending the process. Like, we have to make sure that we just don't go by the accuser. Like, the accuser is making an accusation. Hey, the accuser may be right. The accuser may be 100% right. But there still should be a process to make that determination. And if the court says, hey, you shouldn't have done that, bring him back or whatever, and you just go, the hell with it. I'm not going to listen to the court. You know what I mean?
That's why they call it practicing law, because it's a continuous evolution. It's not just like science is, well, actually science is practicing.
Right.
A practicing thing too.
All right, moving
on to something else.
All right, real quick, because I'm getting tight on time here. Yes.
I would like to hear the statistics on it. What are people going up there to work versus are they just going up there for day trips? Mm-hmm. Because the commuter part of it, it doesn't make sense to me why somebody would take 2.5 hours to get up. You know, that's 5 hours a day. You're commuting to your job.
Right.
So I'd like to see the statistics on it and see if the statistics match up to what they foresaw happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, that would be interesting. All right. Thank you very much for the call. All right. 508-996-0500. Hang on the line if you're there. Back in a moment with the Tim Weisberg Show on WBSM.
That the Home Energy Assistance Program, PACE, is going to be discontinued due to the overwhelming applications they received this past winter because of the Eversource, the radical Eversource increases in rates. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if that was a correct statement or if that person had the right information or anybody else out there who might know something about it, because there are a lot of people who depend on PACE, especially now. I'm sure that they had to pay out a lot this year. I believe they get their funds from the state and federal government. If anybody knows anything about that, if that was a true statement, that they may not be around next year.
That's important, and that's very disturbing if that's true, because there are so many people out there that need that help for sure.
Oh yeah, there are middle class people who had to apply to PACE this year, because I mean Eversource, I mean that's crazy what they're charging right now.
Oh yeah, I couldn't believe it. One day I opened the bill, I'm like, is this a misprint? It shot up like, you know, double, triple. They went way, it just didn't go up like 10%. It went way up there, you know.
Yeah, these delivery charges, I don't fully understand that. But I know that they replaced a lot of the lines with new non-corrosive piping. Mm-hmm. They did it even on my street here. They put all new gas lines with a new non-corrosive material. So that is an expense. I understand. That's an expense they had to, part of their operating costs. But these delivery charges are way out of whack.
Yeah. All right. Well, if anybody knows anything about the PACE, give us a call and then maybe we can look into it. Yeah, right.
It'd be interesting to find out if that's true or not. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a great day. All right, 508-996-0500. If you're on the line, stay tuned. I got one more break, and I got to get this in, because if I don't, I'm going to mess everything up. Back in a moment with more of the Tim Weisberg Show.
Good. So talk about the illegal aliens.
Okay.
And they all have to have due process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a couple of questions about that. Number one, is that a law that's in the Constitution, or is that judge-made law?
No, I think it's a constitutional principle that if somebody is apprehended, there should be some process to make a determination as to whether or not that's the person we're talking about.
Does the Constitution apply to citizens of the United States?
Well, you have to have the process to determine whether or not they're a citizen of the United States.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Even Chris McCarthy is nodding. I'm very happy to see that. No, I'm kidding with her anyway. No, that's what I would say. I mean, you got to be careful because, you know, if you start cutting corners, look, I've said it before. I want to be safe. I want my family to be safe. I want your family to be safe. Everybody wants the same thing. It's just
before we evict them,
go ahead.
We need to make sure they're citizens. Otherwise, we have to let them stay here until we determine they're citizens or not, and then evict them.
Well, I think you have to make a determination as to who you have, who you have apprehended. You know what I mean? So,
All right.
Thank you.
So let's see.
Go ahead. No, we got time. Go ahead. I thought you were all done. Oh, I guess he hung up. He thought I was going to hang up. Okay. Sorry about that. Well, anyway, 508-996-0500. Chris McCarthy is up next. The king of controversy will be coming in. I could do a promo for you because I have one of those voices, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, the king of controversy. What pot is he going to stir today? Well, I'm excited because, hey, you're going to be tuning in Saturday morning from 7 to 9.
I love that you had that show.
Yeah, so that's really... Yeah, and the Channel 6, you know, it's funny because I had somebody call, right, and somebody who disagreed with me in terms of ideology, and they said, you know, Santos, I like your television show better, because that show, we don't do any, you know, political stuff and controversial stuff. Okay, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey.
How's it going?
How are we doing that draft?
Well, there's a lot of experts out there that thought they did very well.
Yeah, we'll have to see if the, what is that guy, the T-Rex, if he turns out he's going to be okay. Anyway.
He's going to be fine. Anyway, I just wanted to say, geez, I'm looking forward to you. It's awful early on a Saturday morning, but I'm looking forward to your new show. And
thank you.
Hopefully everything goes all right with you.
Yeah, I do have to get used to that. I mean, I'm not going to complain about it because there are so many people that get up way earlier than that, and they've done it for years, and they, you know, they didn't think anything about it. So me complaining about 7 o'clock, I don't think is going to give me too much sympathy. But I don't really usually do that. But hey, that's the time to come in, and so hey, I did it today. It's not that bad. Once you get up and you get going, and you know, then you go through your day. I mean, the good thing is I'll be done at 9 o'clock, so I'll have all the rest of Saturday to do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, I'm up at those hours for sure. Like, I'm a 5:30 guy.
Oh, good.
But I don't normally listen to the radio, though. But maybe I'll have to. We'll have to tune in on Saturday to see how you're doing.
Yeah, well, you have to do it now because, you know, you get something to listen to here, you know? All right.
Fair enough. Good luck. Yeah. And we're looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much. Very nice of you to say that. Have a great day.
All right.
All right, 508-996-0500. We still have a few minutes left here. And while Chris McCarthy is in the background, I think Chris has seen the television show a few times. So it is a whole different thing. It's so much fun, and we have a great time with it. In fact, I have this line where we highlight the talented, the interesting, and the entertaining from our area. And we always have, every single week, we always have a singer, we always have a comedian, and then we always have a person of interest, just somebody to talk to that's an interesting person in the community. So we have those three things. We have the opening monologue, we have the band, and we have the sidekick, we have the whole shtick. And it's on Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock, Channel 95, the one-hour version. But the edited half-hour version is on every other Sunday morning, ABC 6. In fact, we have an episode this coming Sunday, as a matter of fact, 10:30 a.m. And you know what's great? I do all the editing myself. So, like, for example, if I do a 6-minute interview, and 3 minutes of it is just great. And the other 3 minutes is kind of so-and-so. I can take it out. So the half-hour version just cranks along, and all the good stuff is in there, and the funny stuff is in there, and, you know, I just keep moving along. So I have this singing guest called The Rev. You know, so I'm thinking, what is this lady? Why didn't she call herself The Rev? Turns out she's a singing reverend, you know? And so I thought that was pretty cool. You know, she's a reverend. She comes out. She just did great. You know, I mean, she had our audience like clapping and dancing and everything. We had a comedian by the name of Lloyd Legacy Sharp, and we had an actress by the name of Alana Richard. And I mentioned before, the reason why we had this actress on is because there's a movie that's going to be coming out, and it's called Death Comes Calling. It's kind of a quasi horror movie. And I went out there and did a piece for my TV show on this movie. And they were so happy that I did this piece that they say, hey, we're going to put you in the movie. We'll have you in the background at this diner out in Rhode Island. So I go out there. I'm sitting in the background, you know, okay. Then finally say, hey, we got a surprise for you. We're going to have you say a line. I'm like, you're going to say a line? Yeah. You're going to get up and leave the diner. And as you're walking out, you're going to say, okay, Nick, see you again tomorrow. And wave at Nick, who's behind the bar, and go off. So I got up and I kept doing it. The first time I did it, the director said, a little stiff there, Santos. You know, do it again. Well, I don't have any acting training or anything. So I get up and I'm like, hey, Nick, see you again tomorrow. So when that movie comes out, my wife and I will be crowding around the TV waiting for that 5 seconds. This guy's leaving the diner, assuming they don't cut it out. You know, the director said, oh, no, we're not going to do that to you. We're not going to cut it out. I'm like, yeah, well, when you're editing the thing down and, you know, you got to get something out of there, maybe you'll change your mind. And if you do, I understand. But anyway, it was a lot of fun watching a movie, watching what they have to do. I mean, you take, like, say, 45 seconds, a 45-second scene in a movie or a television show, which I've seen that, too, in California. My wife's nephew is a lighting director, and we went out there, and, you know, to do 45 seconds, it took, like, all morning. You know, they shot it from all different angles, and, you know, do it again, do it over here, do it from this angle, do it from that angle, everything else. So it takes a long time. So it was really interesting to see that whole thing come together. So we'll have to see. When the movie comes out, I'll let you know if you want to watch an hour and a half movie just to see that 5 seconds. No, I'm sure the whole rest of the movie is very good. And by the way, you do talk with us every day, especially you regular callers. Well, now you can win cash. That's right, cold, hard cash every single day. We're making the money talk with your chance to win $1,000 every day. Listen weekdays from 8 until 5, and each hour you'll hear a 3-digit cash code to enter in the WBSM app. The more you enter, the better chance you have at hearing that money talk and winning $1,000. It's like that, $1,000. You can't go wrong. Plus Thursdays, right? Thursdays. It's only 2 days from now. They are called $10,000 Thursdays. Imagine that, $10,000 Thursdays. You could win 10 grand just for listening to Chris McCarthy, for example, and listening to the other shows here that we have. Just listening and entering those cash codes, and you could have money in your pocket. Download the WBSM app for rules and details and to win with Money Talks. Money Talks on WBSM is brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. So, yes, this Saturday, very excited to start my first show, the Paul Santos Show, 7 to 9 a.m. That'll be followed by Ken Pittman from 9 to noon, and then Brian Thomas. Brian's beat moves to the afternoon from 1 to 4. So let's see, what do we have there? We have a Democrat, a Republican, and an Independent. Is that right? Libertarian. Oh, Libertarian. Okay, all right. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian. And I always put a little M, moderate Democrat. Moderate. I'm not a leftist. I'm a moderate Democrat. Anyway, so you got one of each all day Saturdays. That'll be a lot of fun. And we entertain all points of view. We enjoy talking with the WBSM audience. I encourage the regular callers to call, and also maybe some new callers will jump in when we start on Saturday. And as I said, the TV show, the Paul Santos live show, every single Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, Channel 95. If you have Comcast, you can get it on YouTube. And every other Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., ABC 6. And we have a show this coming Sunday morning at 10:30 with the singing Reverend Lloyd Legacy Sharp and an actress, beautiful actress, by the name of Lana Richards. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm glad to see that Chris McCarthy enjoys that show.
The Johnny Carson
of New Bedford. Yeah, somebody said I was the Johnny Carson of New Bedford.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, I'll take that as a compliment. And then he also called me the Portuguese Johnny Carson.
so that's
a good one.
You're our Johnny Carson. I like it.
Yeah. So, I was a fan. I mean, Johnny Carson, he was the best. Wasn't that in our age group? And I like Jay Leno and Letterman, all those guys. But still, Johnny was the best. Johnny. And you go on YouTube, you can see these old clips when Don Rickles was on, or Rodney Dangerfield. It is just fall off the chair hilarious. I mean, he just, the way he could do the straight man and Rodney and all those comics from back in the day, I mean, they just don't make them like they used to, Chris. They don't make them. What's your topic today, by the way? What's the controversy today?
Well, we're going to have the anniversary of Mike Cassidy's death.
Oh, okay.
There's still no local pension for him.
Okay, he's talking about, I don't know if you can hear, Officer Cassidy, who passed away on the job or passed away from COVID, and whether or not there's a connection to this police work.
The feds have paid his family.
Okay.
And we'll have Lorenzo Gonzalez from the police union at 11
o'clock. Oh, and Lorenzo Gonzalez from the police union coming up at 11 o'clock. Okay, so that sounds like a fantastic show coming up. South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy coming up next, and then Barry Richard this afternoon right here.